This is Optimus Prime, and you're listening to All Things Transformers with Steve Megatron and TFG1 Mike. Transform and roll out!
Hey, this is Springer. I got better things to do tonight than die, like listening to the Geekcast Radio Network.
This is Optimus Prime, and you're listening to All Things Transformers.
And welcome to an all-new generation of All Things Transformers as we get the origins of any and all Transformers fans that we can. I am, of course, TFG and Mike, and joining me is Steve/Megatron. Hello, sir.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm here.
You're here. And today's guest is somebody that we've been working with for a couple of years now. He's somebody that anytime I put a Transformers the Movie quote on Twitter will constantly argue back and forth with me over who the best Prime is, because we all know the one true Prime is Rodimus. He is one... Yeah. He is, what are you, one-fourth, one-third? I don't know what... he's part of or creator of Simplistic Reviews, that amazingly funny sketch podcast that we love to listen to. It is Mr. DJ Valentine.
Not even in your soul do you believe Rodimus Prime is better than Optimus Prime. Nobody out there in America, in the world, in the galaxy, believes that Rodimus Prime is... Rodimus Prime doesn't even believe that Rodimus Prime is the best Prime.
That's why he resurrected Prime Optimus Prime, to give him
He's
back.
He's like, I suck. I gotta get out of here.
He's like, I don't know what to do. I need Optimus Prime. Never mind, I can jump in the Matrix and ask him questions.
Can I hit him with a hammer, Prime? No, Rodimus, you freaking idiot. I'll take care of
it. I thought you were made of sterner stuff.
I'm not. I'm Judd Nelson.
Hey. You leave Bender alone, damn it. So, yes, we are here, and we're going to get the origins of DJ and figure out why he is the Transformers fan that he is. Take it away, Steve.
Where do I take it? No, I'm just playing. Did you grow up with Transformers, and at what age do you remember first noticing the franchise?
I remember my stepfather. I got the toy before the cartoon. Did I watch the cartoon? My parents were more... afraid of me watching toys with guns than giving me toys with guns.
Oh, and nice.
So this was weird. So the first toys I ever got was a Snake Eyes and an Optimus Prime. So I was like, this is awesome. This truck becomes a man with a gun. Yes, this is going to be my toy forever. No. Keep the soccer ball in the back. I don't care. I want to play with this red truck that turns into a man with a gun. Oh, it has a trailer with a wheelie thing in the back. Yeah. Leave me alone, video games. I'm going to play with this man. So, yes, I would say, God, I would say around... the cartoon might have been already. I think I was maybe 8. I was very young. I know I was in the corner playing with Optimus Prime for a very long time until I got the rest of the Autobots and Decepticons to join them.
Mm-hmm. Very cool. What is your Transformers generation and why?
Come on. Gen 1. It's got to be Gen 1. It's got to be, I give respect to some of the new stuff. I just, that voice. In the animation, I think... It's just that because it was such an equivalent to, it felt like a shared universe with it. That kind of is with G.I. Joe and stuff like that. That generate the 80s of Transformers was just, I mean, I grew up, it literally raised me. I would come home from school and then I would watch Duke and Cobra Commander fight, and then I would wait for the Autobots to fight the Decepticons on a volcano or something. And somebody, Optimus has the little purple, Megatron had the axe, and Optimus had the mace, the orange mace, and I would just watch them fight. It was great. Of all the new stuff, I'd say I like the one that just came on Netflix a lot. Very recently, they had a Transformers. I forget the name of it. Is it called Transformers
Prime? War for Cybertron Siege. War for Cybertron, yes. And Earthrise comes out at the end of this month. Second
that,
chapter.
The one that just came out was very, very well done. And I think I was live tweeting episodes as I was watching it. So the new stuff is really good. I think now that it's kind of gotten to a place where, and not to bring it to Star Wars, but I think Transformers and Star Wars share some stuff where they're kind of fixing some of the wreckage that Michael Bay left in his wake.
Yeah.
Like, hey, you know, this was cool. You know, it wasn't just, you know, explosions. There was some depth to these characters. And I think the new stuff is doing that. But no, if I had to pick, it's always going to be the 80s.
Hmm.
So what other generations of Transformers do you like?
I think when I got off the Transformers train, I think it was right after Optimus came. I think right after the run where Optimus came back. The runs I like, like I mentioned, the one on Netflix. I do like they had the one where the almost the CGI show. I think where it was, I forget his name.
Transformers Prime.
Is it Transformers Prime where the kid had the bike and
Jack Darby? Yeah.
That was pretty good. I just, only reason I didn't like that show is because the Autobots were so few. I liked it when it was a lot of them, you know, so you could variety.
They weren't trying to sell toys anymore. They were just trying to have retains.
Exactly. They were trying to tell stories, which, I mean, to their credit is a good thing. When there was a lot of Autobots, because there's a lot of personalities, or Decepticons, there's a lot of personalities. But I did like the run. I did like what they were doing with it. Is that the same universe? I mean, I was never huge, and I know Steve's going to kick me in the throat, but I was never huge on Beast Wars. I did like the episode where they kind of went back to the Ark. I think they time traveled or something, and you saw the original Gen 1 Autobots frozen.
They didn't time travel, but what happened is they crashed before, like right after.
Right. That was cool. I thought that kind of mixing, I thought that was pretty cool. But again, that was never huge. CG, and it's not even Beast Wars' fault. CG animation for me is it's either like it's got to be really, really good or I'm going to be out. Because I'm old, I like the hand drawn stuff. Yeah. So unless it's like really good, like they were doing with the Transformers Prime, I was kind of like, if you look at Beast Wars now, though the story wise, Beast Wars was good. It's like some of the animation, I really wish they would like do like a little upgrade, and maybe we'll get on that, guys. You guys can upgrade that whole thing, and they probably redo the. You can just double your money if you do that anyway. But yeah. So those are some of the shows I like.
Now, you mentioned your very first was Optimus Prime earlier, yes. But was the G1 Optimus Prime, that was the very first Transformers toy you had?
Yeah, that was maybe the first action figure I had was Snake Eyes and Optimus Prime. I remember that vividly, and I didn't even know any of the – until I started watching the cartoon, I didn't know what – I just knew what this toy is awesome. This was an awesome toy, and I didn't know the – I didn't know I was holding in my hands probably one of the greatest characters of all time, and I didn't know there was more of him. And then I realized, oh, he has a family? He has enemies? All his enemies and family are in my head. Now I can just buy them at a store. There is Ironhide, and there is Bumblebee, and there is Jazz, and there is Mirage. I can just pick them all up. Oh, there's Megatron. When I was a kid, guys, Megatron was the how would you put this? The taboo toy. You weren't allowed to get Megatron because back in the day, kids, Megatron transformed into a gun, like a gun, like not a
futuristic.
Yeah, it was a pistol. So parents would ape shit at the time about you guys, you selling your child a gun. And he wasn't like
purple. It was like a Walther P-38, wasn't it?
With a, yep. a silence. So like yeah. when you, it, he wasn't like colorful. He was gray and black. So it wasn't
like a real one. So when the masterpiece came out, they had to put orange caps and open all of them.
Exactly. So when I was a child, parents lost their shit. So getting Mega, if anybody on your block had Megatron, that was the cool kid.
Yep.
That was like, oh wow, your parents are ooh. I want to hang around you because you got Megatron. How the hell did you get? So yeah, those are the those are the toys I got. But I never got a Megatron. I know I got a sound Shockwave. I got Shockwave because he was the purple gun. Mm-hmm. you can have him around. That's fine. That's clearly not a gun. I got a Starscream. Starscream. I got one of those. And I got I got Jazz. Yeah, I got a Cliffjumper and Jazz. Those were like kind of my. That was my Autobots versus Decepticons fights most of the time.
Very cool, very cool. All right, we'll switch. Yep, variety is the spice of Transformers. We'll switch up 5 and 6, Steve. Growing up, did you and your friends... Now, this is the reason why I said Steve and I are going to switch the 5 and 6 questions, is because this is more of a question that I added in here because it's something I remember doing. Did you and your friends ever pretend to play Transformers at, say, school or in the park or at recess? Or basically, you're out there with your friends and you shout, I'm going to be Optimus Prime and my most hated enemy over there across the playground is going to be Megatron and I'm going to run him down.
No, it's sadly. when we were playing, because at the time, G.I. Joe and Transformers were... I want to say, for at least in, around me and my popularity, it was neck and neck. It was like, you know, it was they were almost synonymous. And when we were out, if you're talking about not playing with toys but just pretending to be characters, everybody was doing G.I. Joe where I was, because we had the big old playgrounds and right, you know, right. it's essentially playing cowboys and Native Americans. And then you weren't you didn't need a lot of stuff. Because it's very hard to go, hey, I'm Optimus Prime, and transform into a truck. But it's easy to go, hey, I'm Duke, and you can just run around, or I am Roblox, or whatever. So, yeah, it was mostly G.I. Joe. If I was playing Transformers, it was probably with my cousins, because they had way more Transformers than I did, and we would just play with the toys in the house. But if outside, it was G.I. Joe time.
Mm-hmm. Very cool.
So... who is your end-all, be-all favorite character from any Transformers iteration?
You can pick one Autobot or Maximal and one Decepticon, Predacon.
Gotta be Prime. I mean, if I have to pick somebody other than Prime, I really dug Springer. Mainly because he has one of the greatest... And I've told you... mm-hmm. I've told you this, Mike... He has one of the greatest lines in cinema history, which I've got better things to do tonight than die, which is such a badass line. Mm-hmm. And that was the first time I'd ever seen him. And then the cartoons that follow, I was like, I really like Springer because he's kind of like this Han Solo-y character. And, you know, he was really cool and he transformed into two things.
Things to do tonight than die.
So, but in terms of his attitude, I really liked his attitude. So Springer's pretty cool. Generation 1 style, I'd probably lean more toward Jazz because that's Scatman Crothers and he's a Porsche. And mm-hmm. So in terms of Decepticons, I mean, and it's kind of, I know guys are going to, you know, you can pick the main ones because Megatron and Starscream together, that's Shakespearean shit. It's not to swear, but that's some sick. That is some, I mean, just to the core of this guy is in charge. He keeps his enemies close because he knows Starscream's trying to take him over. He knows but he doesn't want to, you know, kick him to the curb. He wants to keep him as close as he'll keep an eye on him. That's Shakespearean stuff. So their relationship is so good. I love it. So like to separate, oh, I like Megatron or I like Starscream. I like that dynamic. And it comes to a head in... the movie, the animated movie, but I just any time they would bicker, even in the first lines of the movie, and yet I remember like 5 seconds before that, Starscream is using in the animated movie, he's using Megatron as a gun, to kill everyone. Mm-hmm. And then 5 seconds later, they're arguing. You're an idiot, Starscream. It's like so good. I like them so much. And there's other Decepticons that are great. I mean, you get to Soundwave, who is essentially the loyalist, and then you get all these other guys. You get Rumble, who's like this Brooklyn, Decepticon. I could just watch Megatron and Starscream argue forever. The only good thing about the Transformers, the first Transformers movie, is they have that one interaction where Megatron calls Starscream an idiot. It's like, ah, there it is, and then they never do it again. But. But yeah, I like, in terms of the Decepticons, it's got to be those two.
Awesome. What are some of the other Transformers characters that you like besides the ones you just mentioned?
I'm going to say this, and this is going to go to the new stuff. I mean, I hated Bumblebee. Mainly because I didn't like, you know.
And now he's number one.
Wow. Now I ask the man a question, what other Transformers characters do you like? And he skips down to the next question, which, are there any Transformers characters you hate?
No. I'm setting you up. When I was younger, I hated Bumblebee.
Uh-huh.
But, I don't believe I'm saying this, to Michael Bay's credit, he was the first guy that kind of was like on a mission to make Bumblebee cool. Mm-hmm. And then, because even when the Michael Bay movies came out, I was never a Bumblebee fan. But to this newest Transformer cartoon that came out, and I think I kind of started turning on Bumblebee as I like him more, or he wasn't offending me. And he's kind of like the Ahsoka of Transformers. But the newest Transformer cartoon that was on Netflix, Bumblebee is freaking awesome. He is awesome. And I didn't change his backstory to where he was like, I'm not a Decepticon, I'm not an Autobot, I'm on my own, I'm like a loner. But it kind of worked for me. And I was like, man, this guy is cool. I like this character where he's kind of this, just on the fringes in that, in this newest anime thing. Mm-hmm. And no, in the Gen 1 cartoon, he was just the guy that Spike got in. Essentially, he just drove around and got his ass whooped all the time. But in the newer stuff, even in the video games, Bumblebee, and in the Michael Bay movies, Bumblebee actually did stuff where I was like, oh, okay, I like him now. So Bumblebee would probably be rising on that list. Like I say, he's the Ahsoka of Transformers. I think, who else did I like that's an Autobot? I mean, in Decepticons, there's not many Decepticons I don't like. All the Decepticons to me are cool. Astro Train comes to mind. But Autobot-wise, I liked Ironhide for a little while. But again, when you're a loyalist with not a lot of wiggle room there, mm-hmm. you kind of bore me. But when you got a little, you know, a little edge to you where you're not really, like Grimlock, where he's like, I don't give a crap, you know, he doesn't care. Mm-hmm. I do what I want. That kind of makes me go, you know what? I like Cup. Chef's kiss. Love Cup. Though he's just a ripoff of Obi-Wan Kenobi, but I still love him. He's so awesome. He's the only redeeming factor for me to like Hot Rod, because without Hot Rod, Cup doesn't really work. But
without Hot Rod, Cup would have been destroyed forever.
Right. Cup's relationship with Hot Rod, I like. But it's more, I like what Cup is doing. I love Cup's war stories. I love Cup berating Grimlock. Cup was one of the only Autobots that Grimlock respected.
Yep.
like so those are some of the Transformers that I really dug.
Steve.
So are we going to the hate character, or are we going to the next question?
Of course, of course, we have to go to the hate plague. We all love the hate plague, right?
Hate plague.
So, you know, what's the character that you dislike the most? Would it be Rodimus?
Okay, put it this way. For a very long time, I freaking hated Rodimus Prime. And it was for the simple fact that he is literally invented to replace a toy line. But that toy line, which they didn't care about, had a personality. So it's like, you're replacing Optimus with this guy. And I know that in any other medium, it's like, oh, well, this guy has Optimus is like the Captain America of the group, but this guy has flaws and it makes him more interesting. But you got to understand, it's so inglorious. It's so inglorious to me. I hated him for a very long time. I still kind of hold a little resentment to him, but I realized what they were trying to do and why they did it. So I take it away, and I think his arc equals out himself to where he wasn't ready to be the lead. He wasn't ready to lead the way. He couldn't do what Optimus could do. Neither was Ultra Magnus, another one I did not like. He was not ready to lead either, which is shown in the animated movie, not even the show. Ultra Magnus was not a good leader. There's that scene. There's a line that Ultra Magnus says. When I watched it as a kid, I didn't really pick it up. But when I watch it now, I'm like, man, you suck. Where it was like the Springer is like the other Cup and Hot Rod just bought. I can't deal with that now. Which is like, bro, this is your boy. You don't even care. It's just like, so Ultra Magnus did not like, though I love Robert Stack's portrayal of him. God, Autobots I hated. Like I mentioned, Bumblebee changed for me. Hot Rod has lessened. Ultra Magnus never liked him because, again, anytime there's somebody's trying to take shine away from Optimus, not my favorite. And I guess I would say, the Insecticons weren't my thing, man. I wasn't big Insecticon, either one of them. I was kind of happy when they got changed into the Sweeps and the Cyclonus. I didn't give I know people love worship at the altar of the Insecticons. Not my thing. I don't want bugs. I want cars and planes and jets and ships and stuff.
Yeah, I've never understood the bug infestation love that is the Insecticons. The bug infestation.
They serve a purpose and they have cool things where they can eat anything, which works. I just as I said, okay. You enjoy your bugs. I'm gonna watch the guy that can turn into a jet. That's cool.
Yep, absolutely. All right. Over your lifetime, as you got older, did your interest in Transformers grow stronger or get weaker?
It got weaker mainly because I grew up, but I still like when somebody starts talking to me about the 80s movie, the animated movie. Mm-hmm. I spring mm-hmm. right back up because that movie was life. I say life affirming, but it's like it was some of those things where I was like, that is something that's a wrinkle in my brain where I remember. I don't cry, and that was one of the few films that had me bawl. Like my mom had to take me out of the theater. I was traumatized by that movie, so it's got its lasting effects on me. So yeah, that and I guess when I remember having arguments with my friend, his name is Neil D'Souza, and we both love Transformers, and I remember when Michael Bay was announced to direct the movies, and I was hyped because at the time I liked Michael. Bad Boys was filmed like 5 feet from my house. So I was like, oh, this is great. This is going to be awesome. Michael Bay knows how to do action. I did not know they were going to put it in nice terms, weaken the history or not even care about the history. Because all I heard at the time was they got Peter Cullen back?
Peter Cullen back.
I get the Frank Welker thing, but I mean, you got Peter Cullen. That's Optimus. I literally held my childhood in my head. That was him. And I'm going to have him back? Awesome. And then I watched the movie and I'm like, no, what is this? And it became angering to me. And it just kept getting worse until recently. And I probably forgot to bring this up until recently I mentioned the Prime show on Netflix. Haley Steinfeld's Bumblebee is amazing. I freaking love that movie. That mm-hmm. movie is awesome. That mm-hmm. movie is what all the Transformers movie should have been.
Because it wasn't directed by Michael Bay.
Right.
Written by his duo.
Correctly. Directed by Steve Knight. Is it Steve Knight?
Or, I forget. Travis Knight.
The Nike guy's son. Yeah. Imagine if Bumblebee was the first Transformers movie. You could build off. I mean, it's kind of the live actions are kind of in a hiatus holding dead period now, but that movie is so well done. But at the time it came out, people were so like shell shocked and finished with the Michael Bay stuff, they didn't really give it a chance. But if people watch it, it's what Gen 1 is. It is the first 10 minutes of the movie is Optimus Prime fighting Decepticons on Cybertron, and I'm just eyes welling up with tears. Like, this is awesome. This is great. So like my love went way down during the Michael Bay time to hatred. And it started going back up with Bumblebee the movie and some of the video games and the Netflix show. So yeah, I'm kind of on a roller coaster when it comes to Transformers.
Mm-hmm. Was there ever a moment when you were kind of just done with it?
I think Revenge of the Fallen. That was when I was done. That was like the first movie. I was like, that was bad. I don't like this. This is not. I was in film school, so I kind of this is not shot well. This is some of this stuff is designed improperly. Why simplify this? Why what? And but I was still like, okay, whatever. This is bad, but whatever. And then I saw Revenge of the Fallen. And I'm like, no. This is not even bad as a Transformers movie. This is bad as a movie. This is offending me. I am offended by this film, and I don't care. I mean, for my job at the time, I had to watch all of them, God forbid, and I just was so checked out. Like, this is awful. I don't believe they've taken something that I loved, and they murdered it for profit, and that was. It was Revenge of the Fallen was when I was really like completely checked out. Well, that's where all my hope was gone. Like after the first one, I was mad, but I figured maybe, you know, they can, whatever. And after Revenge of the Fallen, when I realized, these movies were making tons of money, I realized, oh, this is Pavlov's dog. He's not going to change his behavior because he's being rewarded for it. So is this going to get worse? And that's exactly what happened.
Who needs hornets when you have Devastator balls?
Oh, Jesus. See, I was getting over the racist, illiterate robots. Do you know how much of a paradox it is for a highly intelligent robot to be illiterate? That hit me in a way where I was just like, this offends me into my sensibilities of logic. Spock wouldn't understand this movie, and he's in the third one, so I don't understand what's going on.
Yeah, that's not good.
No.
I swore off those movies even though I watched them. I swore them off after the second one.
Yeah, the second one's maybe the... I can't think... Because they're all bad. But the second one is so bad. Like, the third one is bad because it's just noise at a certain point. Mm-hmm. But it didn't, hurt me. It's just... Like, the second one's like, hey, you like this? Well, screw, like, it's like slowly tearing up money in front of you. Like, no. You remember your childhood? Screw that. It's garbage.
With the internet giving birth to the fans and all of us having a voice about what we like and don't like and all of that regarding Transformers, do you find that your voice gets lost in the shuffle, or do you just shout louder?
In terms of arguing Transformers, I mean, back when the Bays were going on, I was shouting because I was doing shows with people who would defend those movies, and I would try to break through. Like now in my old age, I don't really I try not to pick as many fights as much, but at the time I was like, I'm trying to help you. Why do you like this? Like, what are you? Tell me. Let's figure out where the problem is because you don't see it. It's like that. I'm trying to explain to somebody that somebody's a zombie, but the other person won't believe me. It's like that thing is dead. It's horrible. No, it's great. No. Look at it. So yeah, back in the probably around. What was the third one called? The War,
Dark of the Moon.
Dark of the Moon. Dark of the Dark. At the time, I was kind of like, stop defending these. These are horrible. Three strikes and you're out. And I was really adamant about it. But I think at the time where they shot Anthony Hopkins with a bazooka in one of them, I was like, I don't care anymore. I don't want to argue anymore.
And then they made a third or a fourth one, and you're like, okay, what are they doing here?
Yeah, right, exactly. And then, like, I just talked about when Bumblebee came out, how people were shell-shocked. I was one of those people who were shell-shocked. I was like, no, I don't care. And I love Hailee Steinfeld. I'm a huge fan of her since True Grit. I loved her and everything. So when I heard that she was doing it, and it was Travis Knight, because I love Kubo and the Two Strings, I was like, I don't care. It's Transformer. Is Michael Bay anywhere near it? He is. All right, I'm out. I don't care if he's producing. His hands are somewhere in that. This is the guy who thought Raiders of the Lost Ark would bomb. I'm away from him. So when I finally was forced to watch the movie, I'm like, oh, damn it! This is the movie that I would be like telling people who didn't know about Transformers and didn't understand why I like Transformers, what I would show them. But they've already seen Dark of the Moon and what was it, Age of Extinction, and they're done. They were tertiary fans. I'm a fan. So at that point, I was like, I can't get them back in that tent. It's over. They already walked away. They're in the car. They're driving home. I can't get them to watch Bumblebee. It's over.
Just so crazy.
Go ahead, Steve. Well, I was going to say, what? This is an interesting question that Mike poses here, but what is your Transformers personal anthem song? For example, like Stan Bush, The Touch, or...
People say You Got the Touch. It's not mine. I love You Got the Touch. It's fine. It's the great one of the great Optimus Prime moments. I like Dare. I really like that.
Mm-hmm. I think
that's Rodimus.
Which means that's Hot Rod's theme, which means you secretly love Hot Rod.
No, just funny. The song's You're good. Right. I have no problem with Hot Rod. I have a problem with Rodimus Prime. When he's Hot Rod, it's fine. When he's Rodimus Prime, your leadership sucks, man. I can't follow you. One, you got Prime killed, and I'm never going to forgive you for that. I'll just move away. I understand what happened, but you're an idiot. But Dare is a great scene, and that song goes with it so well. You can win if you dare. Where it starts off all triumphant, and then it just turns. It's probably just the movie. That's the way the music of that movie. It's so awesome. Mm-hmm. But how it turns into triumphant to, oh no, mm-hmm. Something's happening. What's going on? Megatron. Oh, God. So it's like it starts off so happy, and then it gets to oh. So I find myself singing that. That and the song where, again, another Hot Rod scene where he's underwater at what's the name of the song where he's underwater?
Nothing's Gonna Stand in Our Way by Kick-Ass. Nothing's Gonna
Stand in Our Way. And the song where Megatron murders everyone in the beginning.
That would be Instruments of Destruction.
Instruments of Destruction! That song is awesome. That song, first off, again, I'm not taking anything away from all these songs because they're all awesome in that soundtrack, but I think Dare is the first one I go to. Then Nothing's Gonna Stand in Our Way, and then Instruments of Destruction, and in that order, I think are my favorites.
Very cool. How often do you go back and rewatch any of the Transformers cartoons?
The Generation One stuff, not as much. I mean, I usually watch the because I have the animated movie on Blu-ray. Yeah, I watch that probably three times a year or something like that. I forced my sister to watch it and said, this is what you need to watch. The animated show, I think when the Netflix show first came on, I went back and watched a couple episodes. And we were doing a sketch for our show where I was We were making fun of the fact that I think the plot of the sketch was the Autobots have just landed on Earth and they're trying to decide which things to be, and Optimus keeps picking like residential cars, where the Decepticons are picking like ships and jets and guns and stuff, and they're like pissed at him. So at that point, I was watching a lot of the Gen 1 stuff just to get the music that we wanted to use and the attitude to write the script. But that was when I was watching it recently, which was probably in around September. I watched a lot of the Gen 1 stuff.
All right, I'll take this one. So I don't know how many of the Transformers comics you have read, but we all love them, supposedly. Which incarnation do you like and why?
I like the Art of the IDW stuff. I didn't read a lot of it, but I just liked how uber realistic it looked. I really like the IDW stuff, which it's very like to call it a comic book, and I love comic books. I'm a nerd, but it's almost the art in there is amazing. Like, I don't want to shortchange, but oh, it's just a comic book. It's a comic book, but yeah, I would like look at it and then I would go back and read it because it's such, the illustrations are amazing. And the Autobots kind of lend themselves, because you look at an Autobot and me as a kid up to now, you want to look at the seams. They have like these little grooves in their shoulders, and where do they transform? Where does the part go? I'd be looking at, oh, that's the part where his arm goes in. And so the person who drew the IDW comic books, I'm sorry if I don't know your name. It might be a team of people.
It's a whole team of people, but right. The main two for the for Phase 2, which is the really most popular one at this point, it's the universe that just ended before they started their new current rebooted universe.
Right.
That was Robots in Disguise, a.k.a. Transformers, was by Andrew Griffith, and then More Than Meets the Eye, a.k.a. The Lost Light, that was done by Alex Milne. So, yeah, but there was a plethora of other artists that did it as well.
That run, I remember when I was, you go to a comic book shop and you see the cover and you're like, oh, man, that's dope. Mm-hmm. That's so awesome. The funny thing about it is it would be an amazing picture of a Transformer, but it would be like Prowler. It wouldn't even be like it wouldn't be like Optimus. It'd be like this normal Puffer or Brawn. But it'd be like the baddest picture of Brawn you've ever seen in your life. It's like, oh, that's awesome. I don't even know what this book is about, but look at this picture of Wheeljack. I don't even, Wheeljack is such a loser, but he looks so awesome in this cover. So, yeah.
Very cool, very cool.
So, how big is your Transformers collection?
Your toy collection.
Transformers collection?
Yeah, your toys. Oh. Your toy collection.
Yeah.
Oh, they're all gone now. But I mean, when I had them, I think the most I ever had at one time was 10 Autobots and maybe 5 Decepticons. So probably 15 of them, I think, was the big. I wasn't, again, I'm not of like large means. So when I got Transformers, I got Transformers and GoBots because my grandparents couldn't tell the difference. but I didn't have a lot of them, but the ones I did, I covered. I had more, again, I keep going, I had more Joes, I think because they were cheaper, than Transformers. I wanted, you know, the big ones. I wanted Omega Supreme. I wanted to get the big, but those were like, at the time, I don't even know. I just know they were a lot of money because I kept being told, they're a lot of money. So cherish the toys you have. But yeah, when I had my toys, I think I had around 15 of them, and they had their own little space. I kept them separate from the Joes and the Thundercats and the GoBots because I was trying to explain. I remember having the discussion because I got Leader One, I believe somebody gave, like, one of my grandparents gave me, or my great aunt or whatever. And she just, because she knew I was a Transformers fan, but she doesn't know the difference between the, she just saw, this guy turns into a plane. And I would like have to pretend like, yay, thanks. Just to the side.
Yeah.
This is not a Transformer. I can't have Leader One mingling with the, no. You're nowhere near. You don't get to be in this club.
That's right. All right, so if you had... this is why I crafted this for people that have collections, and I'm sorry that you don't, but the next question is...
I'm poor, I'm sorry. It's okay. What do you want from me? Not,
okay, so if you still had your Transformers toys, everybody is safe, but let's say the house is on fire. What is the one Transformers toy you could never live without, part with, ever? Basically, you run back into the fire to save it.
Optimus. Definitely Optimus. If I had Optimus, definitely my Starscream and definitely my Soundwave, because Soundwave made noises when you pulled the trigger. When you transform into a gun, he lit up and he made noises. So it'd be those three. The rest of them, I would be, I'd probably be burning in this fire because I'd probably grab them all. But I would be upset. But if I lost my when I lost my toys, I was upset. But because it was a lot of moving and stuff. But my Optimus was like, I remember his arm broke. Oh, that was a rough day. And I had to.
That was the day you cried. It wasn't the movie. It was when your toy broke.
We managed to put it back. His arm didn't break. The way the Gen 1 toy, the original Gen 1 toy, like his arm was like a socket joint. So he could like pop it back in. But I didn't know that. So I was like, oh my God, I broke my toy. I think my uncle put it back together. But Optimus, again, that was one of the first action figures I ever got, ever. So it's just like I would run for that one. Starscream was a jet. Kids, boys like jets, especially at the age I was. And this was a jet that turned into a man that had guns on his arms, welded to his arm. So, yeah.
All as I can think of is that skit that Randall Nigg and Dr. Smoove did a number of years ago. It was Megatron advertising Old Spice. So it was that classic Old Spice commercial from a couple of years ago. They did it up as Mega, like, look at me, look at your man, look at me, look at your man. And at the end of it, and I'll send you the video so you can watch this. But at the end of it, he's like, it doesn't matter what you say. I'm standing on a jet, and he's standing on Starscream.
I can't see the sketch.
I'll have to send it to you. I think I've seen this,
which is fantastic. I'm standing on a jet.
I'll send that to you. I think we're going to skip question 17 and 18 because you're poor, just like we are, so you have no money that you can spend. So question 17 for the listeners, and you guys have already heard this if you've listened to any of the Origins, what was the most money you ever spent on a Transformers toy item ever? And question 18, we kind of already talked about this, because do you like, loathe, or are you just indifferent to the Bayverse? We know you, outside of Bumblebee, you hate the Michael Bay movies.
I'm so pissed that Bumblebee is a part of the Bayverse. That's what pisses me off. I wish it was some completely different thing, but it's not. It's connected. So I have to, like, ugh. How many movies were there? Six? If you don't count Bumblebee, there's the first five. Transformers versus five? Holy frick. So one out of six ain't bad.
Man, talk about shooting cyber ducks in a barrel.
I mean, in any sport, that's a bad percentage. But those movies are bad. I meant the preface. If you like the Bayformers movies, I'm sorry if I have offended you. I don't mean any. I take it back. I am offending you. How could you like those movies? They're awful. They're horrible, horrible movies. If you like them, please question your taste.
It's almost like the people that like Star Trek Into Darkness. You know.
Hey, I like Star Trek Into Darkness.
Oh boy! Fight, fight, fight!
That movie's terrible.
Look! You got to understand. I'm coming from a place where, remember, there's a Final Frontier movie. Okay.
Final Frontier
is awful too.
But this movie was just terrible.
Star Trek Insurrection. We're living in Star Trek Discovery times. Okay. So look, it might not be your cup of tea, but it's
good. I would much rather watch that than watch Discovery.
I hate Discovery. Oh, I hate Discovery.
Yeah. We just had a podcast about that. If you want to hear our entire thoughts on any of Discovery and Picard and how bad they are.
So
we liked Lower Decks more than we liked either of the two live action.
I didn't want to watch Lower Decks because I didn't want to be pissed off. After I watched Picard, I was just like, no, I'm not going to do this again.
Well, Lower Decks was actually the only thing that's uplifting of the three, and I'm waiting for Strange New Worlds to see if they actually do it justice, but time will tell. Anyways,
I'll say this about the Star Trek Into Darkness thing. I think that whole franchise is built on the fact that it's probably one of the most perfectly cast movies of all time, like all of them. So I don't really not say I don't care about the plot, but I would just watch them do anything. Carl Urban as Bones is a chef's kiss, amazing. So I know people have problems with it, but the cast is so good. I'll ride it. I'll ride the wave.
Well, it would actually be nice if they used him again in Strange New Worlds, but that aside, if you could, and I'm kind of creating a question here on Mike, but if you could voice any Transformers character, who would you want to voice?
Well, I've voiced Megatron, and not as good as you. I've done Optimus, which I could not do. That was really tough. I did Starscream. I really like Springer's cool, but he's not nothing really, like, he's not doing a lot of stuff. I like Grimlock, just because he's kind of like, you know, the fun one. Everybody loves Grimlock. He's, you know, you get to say do a lot of stuff. And Unicron, first off, it's Orson Welles, so come on. But Unicron's just, every line he says is so cool.
John Knowles did a good job in Prime. John Knowles did a great job in Prime, considering that Orson is no longer with us.
Well, they should have had Maurice LaMarche do the brain, you know.
Look at my frozen peas.
That would not have worked for Prime.
What is this I sense? The taint of Primus?
There's a guy in my eyes.
There's a guy in, they made speaking of Netflix, there's a Netflix movie called Mank that just came out, David Fincher, and there's an actor who plays Orson Welles, and it's terrifyingly accurate. Like, I thought they were using recordings of Orson Welles, but Orson Welles' impersonation is frighteningly good. And I was like, well, if they ever did this again, let him play Unicron, because he sounds exactly like Orson Welles. He looked exactly like Orson Welles. He was fantastic.
All right, so we're going to skip question 20 because that ties back into parents and toys, and we know it's okay. Sorry. Well, I mean, because you've kind of already talked about it, but basically question 20 would be, it's because my dad sold my toys as a kid. So question 20 essentially is, do you have a quote-unquote parents got rid of my toys story?
Oh, yeah, we moved. We moved from Half Street in Hollywood, Florida, and we moved to Miramar. And they just forgot a box with all my shit.
Oh, no.
And we tried to go back for them. It wasn't there. Gone. Oh. So I was like, well, all right. And luckily, it hit me. They got me a video game system at the time to appease my anger. But it was still like, yo, what the fuck, guys? Come on. It's myself. What's going on?
If you could create any Transformers fiction, toy, cartoon, comic, movie, whatever, basically Hasbro says, here, as long as you follow the general character rules to the G1 characters or whatever, what story would you want to tell with it?
I want to do a prequel where Cup is young. I want to do a Cup story. They've probably already done this. I haven't looked. I mean, you guys probably know Transformers lore a little bit more than me, but I think all those war stories he's telling in the '80s in the movie, mm-hmm. I want to live some of them. I want young Cup fighting alongside Orion Patches before he's prime. You know what I'm saying? I want some of that stuff. That'd be a good like almost like a Rogue One type war, Cybertronian, like the first 10 minutes of Bumblebee. Give me that. the animated show that was on Netflix is pretty much all of that. Though I didn't like how they treated Prime, but
and they talk really slow.
They do talk slow. But Prime is like getting his ass whipped in that show, which I didn't understand. I was like, I've subscribed to the notion that Prime and Megatron are equals, But not that show. That show, Megatron just whooped his ass. Anyway, I would rather watch. I would be happy to write a cup. Guys out there, I'm pretty sure this has already happened. If they haven't, that's a travesty. A Cup prequel series with young Optimus when he's not Optimus, when he's Orion Patches and he's fighting on Cybertron. I would love that. That would be fantastic.
Very cool, very cool. What is the one piece of Transformers advice that you'd give the Transformers fandom and the Transformers collectors in general?
One piece of advice. Find what you like and don't let anybody dissuade you not to like it, I'd say. A lot of people, including me, which I've done, told you not to watch Bayformers, which is awful, awful movie. But if you like it, those toys in that show, and that goes for a lot of the stuff in the 80s, He-Man, Thundercats, G.I. Joe, Transformers, that stuff has a, at least for me, was personal. That was like, you know, where a lot of my imagination, because I had Transformers, and I'm like, well, I'm not, the show's not on. I got to create the battle plans for this. I got to create the show. And a lot of the stuff that I, my ability to write comes from, you know what, this today I'm going to have Optimus get captured and the Autobots got to save him before Megatron fires a rocket that blows up the sun. The stuff like that was just me in my living room with a couple of Transformers creating stuff. Same thing with He-Man and Thundercats. Those toys are personal to everybody that has them. I mean, people just look at, oh, they're dolls or they're action figures or they're toys, but those are like the sparks of where your imagination comes from. That's what's great about toys in general. Is that, you know, if you have any toy, it is to amuse you, but it also it can, I'll say, teach you stuff, but it can develop your mind, I would say, more than you think. People, again, parents in the 80s would just completely disagree with me. It's warping your mind. It's making you horrible and makes you love violence. And no, I think it's actually trying to teach you how to have an imagination, and some of the stuff that you're picking up from the show you might pick up as a moral lesson. A lot of stuff that Prime says is super moral, like holy crap. Some of the stuff Megatron says is like, yeah, you know what, you're right, Megatron. That's right, Starscream, oh, you know what, that Megatron is being a dick. Yeah, you know, so some of that stuff kind of shapes your outlook. So yeah, I would say, if you like certain Autobots and you like certain Decepticons, you like certain shows, just hang on to them. That's your stuff. That's your personal stuff. If I'm being a dick and you love watching Decepticon, Devastator Balls, and you love that stuff, man, that's all you. That's all good.
Oh, Lord.
I feel like that's like almost like a really bad Pokemon song of like Jigglypuff. Instead of that, you're saying Jigglyballs.
Devastator balls.
Oh, Jesus. Oh,
Lord. Anything else you want to say about Transformers, DJ?
It pains me, but I think it's getting better now. It sucks that it's getting better now. It should have been better 10 years ago, but I think it's finally getting better now. Some of the stuff that I've seen, I talked about before, it's like, oh man, yeah, that's great. So I think the little dry spell we were sitting in with Cade Yeager, whatever freaking his name was, or, you know, just like a dry spell in animated content that was well done, I think it's getting better now. I think we're getting people who are my age who are producing these shows, who are like, grew up with it and realized that, you know, this is what makes Optimus cool. This is what makes, you know, Astro Train cool. This is what makes Blaster cool. This is what makes, you know, and making the show instead of saying, you know, marketing.
Marketing. Yeah.
Let's focus on this. That's why I keep going back to this Netflix show. I should give me some free money for all the stuff I'm plugging. But I really like the fact that they were focused on the characters more than the fact that they were like, there was that, again, a spoiler for the show, I guess, but there was that thing where the I forget his name, one of the Autobots gets separated from the group. I think it's Bumblebee. I can't remember. But he gets separated from the group and he finds a Decepticon that's dying, I believe. Mm-hmm. And he kind of like, the Decepticon kind of becomes disillusioned by his brethren because they kind of left him to die. And he kind of starts helping the Autobots. Like, man, this is that stuff that Impactor. they should have been Impact. Yeah, awesome storyline. His arc was really good. And who the hell is Impactor? He's nobody.
Well, Impactor actually is somebody. I mean,
in terms of, like, when you say Transformers, Impactor is not, like, on the top 10 of the Autobots or the Transformers you're naming, you know what I'm saying?
Again, it depends on where you're coming from. He was super huge in the IDW comics. He was part of the Wreckers. He was right there along with Springer as part of the Wreckers and things like that. So there are plenty of, like, if I ever twist your arm enough to get you to read the IDW Phase 2 stuff, you'll understand why Impactor is who he is.
I thought he was really, I was like, oh, wow, this guy's really cool. And I liked what they did there, where I was like, man, why couldn't we get stuff like that in the more mainstream, though this is mainstream, but I mean, like, the bigger stuff. We never had anything like that. That's really, like, character development for where I think they were the sneaking car smash cargo boom. That was all they were thinking about. They weren't thinking about, oh, wait, they have personalities. There's characters to these things. They're more than just, you know, explosions and stuff. There's depth, I would say, in from the top to the bottom, from Bumblebee to Optimus to Impactor to anybody. They could to frickin' Laserbeak. All of them have something, so they should focus on that. But I think it's getting better. I think the content that's coming out now is reflects more toward that than car hit cargo boom. And testicles.
Now, what do you think about the fact that they're not using union actors anymore?
To do the voices? Oh, I didn't even know that. They're not using it.
They stopped using union actors because it cost too much.
Oh, wow. Jeez.
So like Beast Wars, I'm sincerely scared of what they're going to do with it.
Oh, no.
Because you know you're going to get like 50 bad impressions of Megatron.
Oh yeah, because everybody does a bad impression. I do the worst impression of Megatron, so they're gonna be calling me on the damn.
Oh, that's all right. Ask Mike how offended I am that I'm not in the running.
So you're happy and you're angry at the same time.
I'm like, there's an opportunity there, but I'll never see it.
This is awful. But wait,
well, I dumped a voice reel of me doing Megatron in there. In a Transformers Facebook group, because I was like, if you're looking for a Beast Wars Megatron, I know a guy, and then I pointed at myself, and then I put.
That's awesome. Hey man, people have been cast for crazier stuff, so you know.
Sure. Well, then I saw that there was like, Chapter 3, and they were at the studio. I was like, dang.
They weren't started. Yeah. But yeah, in terms of union stuff, I didn't know that. That sucks. I mean, it sucks in terms of that, you know.
For the actors that did the voices.
Right, yeah. Right.
For the originators of it, I feel bad for them.
I always think of that the Family Guy sketch where they say, it's almost like the Muppets when they change the voice actors. And they have Fozzie the Bear and he goes, anybody want to hear a funny joke? And it's just like, you're not Fozzie the Bear. You don't sound the way I want you to sound. So yeah, that's kind of good. For some generation, Beast Wars without the voice actors that they're probably used to might suck as much as it would have sucked if they got rid of Peter Cullen in the first season. Mm-hmm. And it's like,
well, the funny thing is I cast a Beast Wars Dark Glass video, or they were trying to make the lost episode of Beast Wars, right. That explains Dinobot's transformation back to Dinobot after Rampage's spark was destroyed. And right. I had to voice cast everybody, and I was very, very particular on voices. and of course I played Megatron in that, but like I had a crappy mic at the time. So like, I would have been like, I would have understood losing it based on that alone. We had a guy that did Rampage spot on. Kevin did Depth Charge. We had Daniel Ross, who's done Starscream in the movie games. He was Waspinator and Rat Trap. And one of the guys, like Xander Mobus, I think he's a part of, I think he plays like Soundwave and somebody else in Cyberverse or something, but he was like the Maximal Computer. We had a bunch of people that ended up becoming voice actors. Mm-hmm. that were in this, and they sounded pretty much spot on to their characters, and so I was like devastated it never happened. I mean, I have the audio clip, so I'm planning on putting this together for next year, but yeah, like I was like, man, they could have got any of these people. Like Chris McFeely does a spot on Dinobot.
Yeah.
Right. It's funny because I think if you're telling me they're changing from union to non-union actors, they might, I mean, I have no idea, but they might just be, just change them up. Just make it sound completely different. So
well, people they did that with about, Primal in the Machinima series.
Right. Right.
Yeah, they got Ron Perlman.
Hey, they wanted Keith David to be Optimus in the damn Bayformers movies until there was like a little bit of an uproar for the times. But and I love Keith David, but he's and we're gonna go through this eventually. These guys are gonna be too old to do these voices, yeah. And that goes with everything. Transform like they're doing the new Obi-Wan Kenobi series. They're gonna have Darth Vader in it. James Earl Jones is like 93 years old.
Well, they're gonna have Hayden Christensen come back.
They're gonna have Hayden Christensen.
Right? No, I know that, but back, I'm saying he's not gonna be doing
Chad Vader.
He's not gonna. Hey, Obi-Wan, I remember. He's not gonna be doing that. They're gonna have to get somebody that sounds like Vader, but it's gonna be not James Earl Jones. So we're gonna have to start getting used to, you know, the voices not being exactly who we grew up, you know,
yeah.
Well, listening to. They've got Chad Vader. He can do it.
And while it does absolutely suck for Peter Cullen and Frank Welker and all of that, I love the Jason Marnocha and, or whatever you, however you Marnocha. Say his name, yeah. And as Megatron and Jake Fushi as Optimus in the Netflix series. I think they sound good for the animation that it is.
Yeah, but they're going to have the Beast Wars cast look exactly like their Beast Wars character.
Well,
so that's where it worries me is because like you're not going to get a Rat Trap sound like Rhinox maybe okay. You could possibly get a Waspinator because somebody will do a bad Gollum impression and then
right essentially
yeah Dinobot.
Rat Trap's going to get somebody you got a Brooklyn accent. You're Rat Trap.
Yeah. And they'll just tell him just pitch your voice a little higher, you know, and then they'll be like, okay, we got it.
Moving on.
And, yeah, and then, you know, you're going to get a lot of these characters that are just going to be, like, just god-awful. Like, there's going to be no... I'm cringing already because, like, I'm afraid of what they're going to do.
Would you rather them just completely do completely different characters or just completely different voices? Not even try to imitate it?
If they're going to not get somebody that sounds like the original... Or at least along those lines, just do totally different characters. Don't even rehash them.
Right. They're probably, but you got to think of it like in terms of okay, you're the cheap studio. We already did all the animation. We already got all the scripts. Yeah, you can't do completely different characters. So we're gonna have to get somebody that either sounds completely different or sounds like this because it probably costs less to worry about that than to reanimate everything. Rewrite every script, get rid of these characters. That's how they're looking at it, probably.
That's why they need me as Megatron.
I'm all for that.
I'll give Marnocha a run. I could be Waspinator, too.
Oh, Lord. All right, so where can the people find you online, DJ? What you got going on over there at Simplistic Reviews?
Literally 5 seconds before we recorded this, I finished writing all of the sketches for our New Year's Day episode. I'm always writing sketches like ahead of time. Shoot. So, yeah, which we make fun of. What are we making fun of this month? Oh, we're making fun of Warner Brothers and Disney. So that's going to drop on the 1st. We have all of our sketches for the year. Is going to we're doing a year in review show that's going to drop on Christmas Day. Steve was in you were in the Sesame Street sketch we did, so that you're in a bunch of them, I think. So all the sketches we did for the year from January to this year, to this month, is going to be dropped on December 25th. And you can find all of that at simplistic.reviews or simplistic.net, and you can just follow everything that we do at Simple Tweeters.
Awesome. Thank you for joining us here on All Things Transformers. If you'd like to get in contact with us or leave feedback for the show, there are several ways to do so. Visit the website, geekcastradio.com, where you can comment on this and all of our other episode posts from this and all of our other podcasts. Here are all the ways you can listen to us nowadays. Apple and Google Podcasts, Spotify, and of course, the home where our files exist, Spreaker, as well as any other podcasting client you use. Leave the show's feedback in iTunes. Please do this. ATTF needs some feedback in iTunes, because I think the last review we had was over 2 years ago at this point. Follow us on Twitter at Geekcast Radio is the network. Twitter at All Things TFV3 is the show Twitter. I'm at TFG1 Mike. Steve, what is your Twitter?
At SCP21.
DJ?
At trying to be DJV.
Become a fan on Facebook. Go to facebook.com/Geekcast or Radio Network. Join us next time when Steve and I will be covering the first trade. Yeah, the first trade in the new IDW Transformers universe. Here inside All Things Transformers and on the Pullbag. For now, I am TFG1 Mike with
Steve Megatron Phillips,
DJ Valentine.
Transform and transcend with us here on All Things Transformers, and we will catch you next time, folks.
Anybody home? Do you know who I am?
I know what you are. That is enough.
I don't trust you. Good. Never trust anyone.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.